Hi, everyone. Welcome to Waste 360's Nothing Wasted podcast. On every episode, we invite the most interesting people in waste, recycling, and organics to sit down with us and chat candidly about their thoughts, their work, this unique industry, and so much more. So thanks for listening and enjoy this episode. One of the best things about this podcast is learning about the latest technologies and innovation in our industry. And that's why we're delighted to introduce Juno, a breakthrough waste recovery technology that's proven to recover up to 90%, yes, 90% of materials it processes, diverting them from landfills and incinerators. And these materials, things like paper fiber, plastics, and metals, are then circulated back into the economy for reuse as raw materials. So talk about a circular solution. If you would like to learn more, visit gpjuno.com. That's gpjuno.com. Hi, everyone. This is Liz Bothwell from Waste 360, and I'm with Neil Smith, CEO of Vanguard Renewables. Hi, Neil. Welcome, and thanks for being on the show.
Good morning. It's a pleasure to be here.
So, Neil, we usually start in the beginning, so I'd love to hear more about your journey to being the CEO of Vanguard.
Yeah, you know, it's like many things in life, it's not always planned, and I spent a career 25 years taking a small startup company in the Boston area into a global independent power producer, and so did that over 25 years, kind of being one of the most junior people and then rising to be the CEO for a decade and retired at the end of 25 years and thought that was the end of my career and to be Mr. Mom to my youngest son, who I, you know, hadn't seen as much of as my elder children. And he decided to go to boarding school. So my wife decided it was time for me to get another job. And lo and behold, the intersection of Vanguard came in my way.
Good for you. I hadn't realized you retired. You're like the Tom Brady of renewables, Neil.
I don't think of myself as good as that, but certainly, you know, the background of taking a small startup and growing it over many years into a big global company, it was really a chance for me to go back and do it all over again, albeit on a smaller scale. But I spent a long time in the power sector. It was more on the, you know, polluting side. And so this is a great way for me to give back a little bit better to the earth.
Oh, that's fantastic to hear. So how does what you're doing now compare to the work that you were doing at the energy company?
You know, Vanguard's on a much more accelerated growth trajectory. The projects at Energem were bigger projects, you know, half a billion to $1 billion at a pop. These are more in the $40 to $50 million range. But the speed with which a Vanguard is going to transform itself from a small startup to a national company is going to happen over a series of a few short years, whereas the growth of Energen happened over, candidly, a decade or two. So very rapid growth over a very short period of time. And I hope to not make the same mistakes we made in my prior company.
Oh, that's great. Well, you took that learning with you, and Vanguard will be better off for it. And I know there was big news about BlackRock supporting Vanguard, so I'd love to hear how their support is really going to affect the trajectory.
Yeah, listen, we're super thrilled, very excited to have them as our new partner and owner. You know, we were at a point with our prior owner who had been wonderful, but the growth and capital that we needed to grow, they really didn't have the wherewithal to kind of, we need about $2 billion over the next 3 to 4 years to grow the company. And so it was the right time to look for a new partner. And there were many people who were interested in being our partner, but BlackRock stood out on a number of fronts. Not only do they have the capital, but they also have the belief that ESG is important. And as a global leader on the ESG front, we felt that they believed in our why just about, as good, if not better than anyone else. And I think that's really the secret sauce here is they believe in why we exist. And they're really looking forward to helping us become the national national company that we plan to be.
Oh, that's awesome. And I know the AD market is poised to reach, I think I read, $15 billion by 2025. How do you see Vanguard fitting into that? I feel like you're the leader in North America, and North America is certainly leading the way there.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. There are probably 9,000 digesters, 10,000 digesters in Europe, and as of 2 years ago, probably only about 200-ish in the U.S. So there's a much bigger industry in Europe, but it was largely subsidized, whereas in the U.S., there's been less subsidy. And so we do feel like we're the leader here in the U.S., but they're big companies who know what they're doing in Europe, albeit in a different environment. But we, too, see a very significant growth trajectory here in the next few years. And the fact that we've been operating plants here in New England since, 5-6 years really, I think, sets us apart in terms of being able to grow quickly in the U.S. and know what it takes to grow in the U.S.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely different markets. And how's the renewable ag division going?
You know, the ag side, which is in partnership with Dominion, is fantastic. We have, probably have a dozen projects under construction right now, with another dozen in late stage development. And we are, moving forward with as many projects as we possibly can with Dominion. So super exciting, very high growth. And we're, able to learn a lot of lessons on the ag side that we're able to shift across to the organic side. But our story is a curious and circuitous one. We really started on the organic side in New England and used that business to kind of hone our craft, as it were. And then things got going with Dominion. And so we spent a lot of time the last 2 years developing new assets with Dominion on the ag side. And now the pendulum is, while ag is going to continue to grow rapidly, the pendulum is going to swing back to organic. So it's kind of been a organics to ag to organic story, if that makes any sense.
Oh, that does make sense. And I know the farm-powered strategic alliance has been a big win for you. And I think it started off a little slower, but now it seems like you're making some great new partners and progress there. Can you give the little backstory about what that is for listeners who don't know what it is, and sort of your progress that you've been seeing since it launched?
Yeah, the Farm Powered Strategic Alliance is our attempt to engage large food companies, that produce large amounts of food waste, to really think about the fundamental question of, what story does your food waste tell? And as we've been able to engage that conversation at the C-suite level with big companies, big food companies, they've started to see the benefits and the circularity of the anaerobic digestion business and turning that into RNG. And so the Farm-Powered Strategic Alliance is an attempt, a pre-collaborative attempt, a pre-commercial attempt to get the large food companies to think about what they're doing with their waste and diverting it to something that's more circular and sustainable, like anaerobic digestion, and to get that conversation going as a way to facilitate the growth of the anaerobic digestion organic business in the U.S. And we've been super successful to get a number of very large companies and founders, including Unilever, Starbucks, and the Dairy Farmers of America. And now we have a long list now of a dozen or so large companies and many more who are poised to join. And it's really just a way to engage at the C-suite level around these big issues of what's happening with food waste, and isn't there a better way to deal with it? And with that, we think in the end that will help the world, it will help the United States, and ultimately will help our business too.
Absolutely. And I love it because it's aspirational, but also doable, because if those conversations aren't happening at that level, like you alluded to, they're not going to happen anywhere else as well.
Yeah, and we found it hard to engage people at the ground level or the operating level sometimes, when they're used to taking their food waste and the truck takes it away and it takes it to somewhere they don't know. They're not as often as receptive to giving us their food waste. But when we engage the organization holistically and talk about their ESG goals, their carbon footprint, and easy steps that they can do, instead of having the truck turn right and go to the landfill, it can turn left and go to our digester. Those are easy wins. And when that case is made throughout the organization. Many, most companies, indeed all companies, have been receptive when you get the right story in front of them.
Oh, I bet. And I love how you guys keep it local as well, like the relationship with Middlebury. And now I see the Vermont Creamery announcement that they've joined the alliance as well. How's that going?
It's, you know, without folks like Vermont Creamery and others, we wouldn't probably have a business in New England. And it's going very well. And this has been the pace. You know, Vermont Creamery is a great example, but there are many others where we have been talking to people about this for a period of time, and the desire to do more and do better has really been building. And so we've gotten new people like Vermont Creamery to join and join in a big way, and we have many others who are standing right behind them. The phrase I like to use internally is that the tide is rising. And the wind is at our back when it comes to sustainable use of food waste. And I think that momentum is only building. And I think we're going to become better recyclers in America over time. And with that, we're going to have more food waste to go to digesters.
You're absolutely right about that. And it's funny you say that, because we just had sustainability talks, a conference at Waste Expo this past May. And Bill Caesar from Generate Capital was the keynote at sustainability talks. And he was giving the full story of when he was CEO of one of the main public haulers, and sort of his journey into, and now the way that he sees so much value in organics and how it's changing the business and the feedstock. And it was such a good story to see, especially for folks who have been in this business for so long and thought of organics almost as a nuisance, but now that it's such a valuable feedstock and sort of that circular picture, it was so great to see, because you're absolutely right. The momentum is there.
Yeah, and it's stories like those that I'm reminded of, and I think we all are every day. I look at, you know, magazines, news articles, newspapers, stories about climate change. And so if you look every day, you can see pieces of this turning food waste into something productive story, and taking methane and turning it into something good, which is ultimately at the heart of our business model. And I think that trend is only going to continue.
I agree. That's great. And then, you know, speaking of the feedstock itself, I know more competition is cropping up everywhere. How are you guys adjusting to that?
Listen, you know, at the end of the day, competition makes you stronger and better. I think we have a leading position and we intend to maintain it. And we welcome and applaud the growing of the industry. You know, you want to be the leader, but you want to win against strong opponents. And so I see a number of people who are, building strong teams, and will continue to do so. And with that, our whole industry will grow. And we'll all be better off for it. But in the end, you know, make no mistake, Vanguard's going to be, in my view, you know, the leader or one of the leaders, and that competition is just going to make us stronger.
That's a great outlook, and you're right. So I know a lot of help can come from policy and other things happening often. Is there anything in the policy world that you're watching right now that could potentially impact your efforts, whether it's positive or negative?
Yeah, listen, the Inflation Reduction Act is helpful. There are movements to, you know, clean up transportation fuels, which continue to be helpful. I think that having some sort of national, federal, you know, carbon regime that isn't the patchwork that we have of states and other things would be more helpful in the future. But at the end of the day, our business, and what's attracted me to this, is that our business model doesn't rely on subsidies. And while those subsidies are helpful to the extent they occur and will facilitate more accelerated growth of the business, we're building our organics business on the U.S. without the assumption of any subsidies. And that's what's really exciting.
Do you have any advice for people who are entering at this stage of a business about what to look out for and what to think about as they're on their own journey in this crazy world?
Yeah, listen, the business we're in has tremendous complexity for what is a small, arguably niche business. And don't let that complexity scare you would be my first point, because there is a lot of complexity. And the second is, for the people who truly believe and are climate warriors, this is going to be a wonderful place to spend a career. But really, at the end of the day, we're a mission-driven, purpose-driven company, and the people who are best to join this space are those who are the people who really believe in climate change.
Absolutely. And I think that will help to draw a really smart, young group of professionals too. So it's sort of, I hate to use the word, but makes the industry a little more sexy for folks too.
Yeah, no, it's funny, in this world of the Great Resignation, we've been growing quite rapidly. We've added over 100 people over the last year, and many other executives I lament their inability to recruit. And, I'm not saying we've been perfect, but we've won more than our fair share in that battle for talent. And, it goes back to being a purpose-driven, mission-driven company that, is circular and sustainable and supports the American farmer. And there are just a lot of people who care more about their job and what it does than some of the other pieces, benefits, what they get paid, how many days they have to come into the office. And we're finding that that's a really strong motivator for us to find like-minded people like us. So we hope we continue to enjoy the success we have in that regard. And I think the space that we're in and the work that we do attracts a certain individual and us to them and them to us.
For sure. You're giving that sense of purpose, which I think a lot of people are looking for now and almost demanding it. So whether it's in their job or consumers looking for products and services around that. So you're right in that sweet spot.
Well, and listen, we all like to feel good about what we do every day. We want to feel like it matters. I think every job matters at some level, but I think what we do, it matters a lot.
It really does. And I feel like Vanguard, you and John, prior to you and probably still now, you guys are so good at building partnerships. And it's, like you said, it's a complex business. So how are you doing that well, whether it's, your Farm Powered Alliance folks to the local munis where you're trying to get the grids up and running? What kind of advice do you have there? Because that is not easy to do.
Listen, I think that we're humble, and I think that we know that the world doesn't revolve around us. It revolves around others, and we're just here to facilitate connecting those dots. So we believe in partners. We know we need partners. We know we can't be successful without partners. And I think, when you focus on trying to help your partner and do something that helps them, in turn, they're happy to help you. And I think that's the approach we've taken. And I think that approach has served us well in creating these partnerships. And at the end of the day, we're here not just to make money. We're here to do something that's good for the world, and we hope to make money, too. And I think that kind of approach resonates with people.
It definitely does. Well, I know you're set up for growth. What kind of growth are you thinking about? Is it a number of facilities? What else are you thinking about for Vanguard?
If I could do a chart or put it in a picture story, it would just scream growth, growth, growth on every level. But to put it in simple terms, we're looking to build, we probably have, seven digesters on the organic side right now, 6 to 7 facilities on the organic side, a dozen or so on the ag side that are in construction. And we're going to have 100 to 150 of these in the next 3 to 5 years. So, however you want to do that, 10-fold growth, 15-fold growth, it's quite substantial. And it's kind of, the not pretty analogy that I have, it's kind of like the pig going through the snake. We've got this very big development pipeline that's going to become a very big construction pipeline. And ultimately, we will become a very big operating company. And that is exactly the story and the history with my prior company, Energen. And that's the path we're on. And so it's super accelerated. And we need to make sure that we put in place the systems, processes, and people and culture to be able to execute that kind of hypergrowth.
Well, that's great. Good for you. And I think last time I spoke to John, he talked a little bit about some of the other locations. So I'm sure you've grown beyond New England now. What are some other locations you're either eyeing, if you can talk about it, or that you already have something in the works?
Yeah, it's not a secret, but keeping it, at a high level is you know, we're targeting most of the major metro areas in the U.S. For organic facilities, and that's, you know, kind of centric to where a lot of the feedstock is. And so on the organic side, we will be in almost every major metro in the U.S. over the next 3 to 5 years. On the ag side, interestingly enough, those tend to be in more rural locations around some of those metro areas, but they tend to be on much larger pieces of land that are outside of the metro areas. So in a funny way, one side of the business is going to be more city metro oriented. The other is going to be where the large dairy farms are. And so we will be in almost every state in the U.S. over time, but largely concentrated around major metros and major dairy farm, areas.
Oh, that's great. Well, let me know if you come down to Connecticut.
Will do.
And then I just want to ask, is there anything else you want to share before I let you go? I know how busy you are.
We're here for a reason, and we talk a lot about the why we exist. And we exist to provide climate change solutions. We believe that we're a innovator and a disruptor, and we're looking for like-minded, you know, climate warriors to join us on that mission.
I love it. And I think you're going to find a ton along the way. So thanks for all you're doing. And we're thrilled to see such growth and what your plans are. And we'll continue to watch.
Thank you for your continued support. Look forward to seeing you soon.
Okay. Thanks, Neil.